Well, welcome everybody to the service today on the 23rd of August 2026. That's more than half the year in already. How time flies. And with special welcome to Matt and Erica Moeller again with us today. And we thank you for your willingness to come and minister. Erica's singing today and Matt is ministering as well. And I was just reminded about something that Alex Smith said in the door coming in. When he was up in Jarvis Court last week. Now, Alec and James went to see a relative in Jarvis Court, and the lady had said, "Oh, I got a visit for the minister." And we're all ministers, Alec and James, wherever he's at in the lobby. We're all ministers. Amen, that's right. Praise the Lord. So we pray the Lord will bless you, Matt and Erica, as you minister to the Lord today. Special welcome to John and Maureen Buchanan as well. John's preaching this afternoon in Bethesda, which is lovely. And also a special welcome to Sneater, otherwise known as Peter Ritchie from Perth, Australia. That's right, you live in Perth, Australia, but you can't take a loon out of the broch, can you? No, that's right. So a special welcome to you, Peter, and you're coming to the end of your holiday, but it's been 8 years since Peter's been back here, and he turned up on the doorstep and chopped in the door, and it was a great surprise to see him unannounced by the wife of Perth, Australia. So may the Lord bless you, Peter, as you minister to the Lord on an ongoing basis, including the night in the Kirkie in St. Combs with me. So there we go. What's at 6 o'clock, by the way, St. Combs. There's tea today following the service, so do stay behind in the back hall if you can for tea and fellowship. For the Pilates, check Facebook, yeah. Are you back to normal? Fit about a knit and nutter, is that back to normal? Not yet. You're having a coffee morning. Is this tomorrow? Oh, a coffee morning. Is it in the morning? What time? 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock for 2:30. Right. And it's in the afternoon, but it's a coffee morning. I'm just checking. The Wednesday night Bible reading and prayer meeting is on the summer break. Obviously, we're not taking a break for Bible reading and prayer. But we recommence in September, and from the 1st of September, we're going to do 31 undated devotions through the book of 1 Samuel, the Common King. So I'll leave them there beside the offering plate. Do help yourself to them. We'll start the daily readings from the 1st of September. Now, just some advance notices. Robbie and Margaret Toop from Mission Africa will be here on Sunday night, the 18th of October. That's the Sunday night meeting in the back hall with tea at 6 o'clock. And Patricia Ross from Steadfast Global will be with us on Zoom. That's on the Wednesday night meeting on the 7th of October, Wednesday the 7th of October at 7:30. Now, Pauline and Gary have done a good job clearing out the store. You'll notice when you go through for your tea, there's a lot of stuff on the stage. Now, there is stuff being cleared out, but if you happen to see something that you like if you want to take a car back to Perth, Australia, where you... It's not got an engine, though, it's a thing, Peter. But if there's anything it ticks your... I wouldn't say it takes your fancy, but you think, oh, that would be handy. Then, you know, help yourself. But, I mean, we'll be throwing out some stuff that's no longer to be used. But if you can upcycle things, so much the better. But we thank Pauline and Gary for the tidy-up. That's partly in preparation for new windows that we're getting on the lane side. But the joiner that we're using for those windows gonna actually do it until December. That's how busy he is. So we're gonna push it back. December's not a good month, and January's not a good month for doing it. So God willing, it'll be next year, unless the Lord comes back, in which case we're not worried about windows. And we also thank Alexander Smith and James Reed and others for the clear-up on the mezzanine and downstairs as well over the last year. It's a good team effort. I think that's all the announcements. Next week's speaker is John Buchanan from Hopeman, God willing. So thank you, Matt and Erica. I'll hand over to you now. Thank you.
Thank you, Norman. Well, it's so good to have the opportunity to be back with you. Always enjoy it. The girls, Ellie and Gracie, they stayed home today. They started school back. On of all days of the week, they had to start school on a Monday. Like, school should never start on a Monday. So they were quite tired. So we told them they could rest in and finish up that. But they send their regards. I don't think they've ever used the word regards, but they said hello. Okay. Thank you so much for allowing us to be with you. Thank you for your prayers, asking about my arm. Of course, I had surgery 3 months ago, and everything seems to be going well. But if you could pray for me, Tuesday, I go back into the consultant, and Lord willing, that's when I should receive the all clear, that I'm ready to return back to normal. So I'd covet your prayers for that. But again, happy to be with you, have the opportunity to open God's word and worship our Lord together. Let's go ahead and open with our first hymn this morning as well. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity and even the responsibility to meet together in your name, knowing that you are here with us. And ultimately, Lord, we want to see you honored and glorified in the songs we sing, in the prayers we pray, and your word as we read it, God, and even as we just enjoy a time of fellowship together with a cup of tea or coffee. We want to do it all in your name and for your glory, God. You know every heart that stepped through those doors today. You know what issues of life they may be carrying with them. And Lord, I pray you would deal with every heart as is needed, God. I pray for those that are needing encouragement, that they would leave feeling encouraged. Lord, for those that may need conviction, that they would leave feeling conviction. But ultimately, Lord, we pray that we would all leave knowing your love for us. We thank you again for all that you've done for us, and we thank you for all that you're going to do for us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing again together our second hymn. Good singing. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 20, but for now we're just going to read verses 1 through 9 of Mark chapter 4 as we ask the Lord to prepare our hearts for what he has for us. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Father, we pray a blessing on the reading of your word, and again, let it start finding good soil in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Right before Erica comes to sing, let's sing one more hymn together.
darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Is worthy of our praise. What we're finding Jesus today in Mark chapter 4 is that he has been in Capernaum preaching and teaching. And as we read, the crowds have become so large that he steps into a boat and he uses it as a pulpit, teaching from the water while the people gather on the shore. And this is really one of the first times that we see Jesus use parables to communicate spiritual truth to a large crowd. What is a parable? Well, the word parable basically means to cast alongside. Someone has described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The truth cast alongside everyday life so that life itself interprets the truth. Jesus takes the common, familiar things that people already understand, and he uses them to unlock the deep things of God. A farmer, a field, seed, soil. But don't let the simplicity of the story fool you, because what Jesus draws out of it is very profound. But I do want to give you a word of caution before we go any further. When you read parables, resist the temptation to make every single detail mean something. That approach has produced a lot of confusion and sometimes false teaching over the years. A parable is designed to teach one primary truth, and when you find that truth, the rest of the parable opens up. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Well, he actually answers that question for us in verses 11 and 12 of our text in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." He used parables to reveal truth to those who were open to it, and to conceal truth from those who had their minds closed to it. And understand, that's not as harsh as it sounds. Jesus was not trying to trick anybody into not believing. He was simply giving people what they had already chosen. They had heard the truth and they rejected it. So he began teaching in a way that required people to actually think and engage with what was being taught. Those who were hungry for truth would have it opened up to them. Those who were not would find that truth hidden. He was giving them what they wanted. Now, we've already read the first half of the parable itself. Let's skip down to verses 14 through 20, where he actually explains the parable to the disciples. Verse 14, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Before we work through the four soils that are mentioned here, there's something important that I want you to understand. When I first read this parable years ago, and especially when I was young, I kind of always assumed that these four categories were permanent. That a hard-hearted person always stays hard-hearted. A shallow person stays shallow. But I've come to see that what Jesus is describing here is not four types of people who remain that way forever. He is describing four conditions of the heart that honestly any of us can be at any given moment. Because if we're honest, we've probably all been hard-hearted at times. We've probably all been shallow. At times, we've probably all had our hearts crowded with worry and distraction at times, and we've probably all had moments of genuine openness to God. So the real question that I want you to think about today is not which category you fall into permanently. The question is, which one describes you right now, today, as you hear this? So we're going to break this parable into two main parts. The wrong ways to receive God's word and the right way to receive God's word. First, let's look at the wrong ways. The first heart he describes is the hard heart where the word is stolen. Verse 4 and verse 15. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the hard pathway at the edge of a field, it was not soft soil. It was compacted ground. It was walked on constantly. It was packed solid. So when seed would fall on that ground, it couldn't penetrate it. It would just sit on the surface, and the birds would come and take it away. Jesus says this represents a person who hears the word, but they don't retain it. It goes in one ear and it goes out the other. And here's where it gets interesting. Jesus tells us that there is an invisible process happening around us right now. That Satan and his forces are actively working to steal the word from your heart the moment that it is sown. And honestly, the enemy's most effective tool is distraction, a wandering mind, a sudden interruption, a thought about what you're having for lunch, something you need to fix at home, something you said last week that you're still turning over and over again in your mind. None of those things by themselves are bad, but if they're pulling you away from the word being planted in your heart, then that is exactly what the enemy is after. You might not think of yourself as being hard-hearted, but if you cannot concentrate on God's word, if it consistently fails to land, then your heart might be more like that compacted pathway than you realize. But the good news is, pathways can be broken up. Hard ground can be turned, but it requires intention. There's the hard heart where the word is stolen. And then secondly, he describes the shallow heart where the word is starved. Verses 5 through 6 and then verses 16 through 17. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. These, likewise, are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The stony ground being described here, it's not ground that is just kind of full of pebbles. It's a thin layer of soil over a shelf of limestone bedrock. The seed lands in that thin layer, and it shoots up faster than the other seeds, actually, because the shallow soil, it warms quickly, and it looks like the most promising plant of all. But the sun then comes out, and because the roots have just hit rock, there's nowhere for them to go, so the plant just withers and dies. I kind of call these Alka-Seltzer Christians. You know what Alka-Seltzer is? So it's a medicine. They usually come in tablet forms. And if you don't know Alka-Seltzer, there's probably something similar. But you drop it in a glass of water, and it fizzes up, and it dissolves, and then you drink it, right? And it leaves a funny taste and a taste in your mouth. Well, that's how a lot of Christians are. They're the people that they respond to the word with immediate enthusiasm. They're excited. They're happy. They're full of feeling, but by Tuesday that feeling has faded, and so has the faith, because their faith was just simply built on a feeling, not on the truth beneath it. Jesus says that when the heat of life starts bearing down, when trouble comes, when following him costs something, those people will stumble. And it's not because the word was not good. It's because there was no root. You cannot live on the emotional high of a Sunday morning, because when the pressure comes, and it will come, you need something deeper than a feeling to hold you up. You need roots. Jesus describes the shallow heart where the word is starved. And third, He describes the crowded heart where the word is strangled. Verse 7 and verses 18 through 19. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This soil is actually different from the first two soils. It actually is good soil. The seed lands, it takes root, and it begins to grow, but so does everything else around it. The thorns and briars that were already there, they grow faster than the wheat, and they crowd it out. They steal the light and the moisture until the good plant has nothing left to produce with. It is not that it's dead, it's just utterly unfruitful. And I think this is the condition of many believers in the Western world, what they're most at risk for. They're not hard-hearted. You love the word. You receive it and you want to grow. But then there are so many other things demanding your attention, your time, your energy, your worry, your ambition, that the word gets crowded out before it can actually bear any fruit. And Jesus actually names three specific vines that do this. He mentions the cares of this world, worry. And our word worry, it actually comes from the Latin word vergen, which literally means to strangle. Worry will strangle your spiritual life. Then he mentions the deceitfulness of riches. Wealth that promises security and satisfaction and really delivers neither. And then he describes the desires for other things. The constant pull towards more, towards better, towards newer. And these three vines can grow up around the best soil and the healthiest seed and leave you with nothing to show for it. Do you find that your heart may be hard or shallow or crowded? If you find that, understand this. It doesn't have to stay that way. Because Jesus shows us the alternative. He shows us the fourth type of soil. And he gives us the right way to receive God's word with an open heart where the word bears fruit. Verse 8 and verse 20. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice something here. Jesus talked about three wrong heart conditions and one right heart condition. Not three right ones and three wrong ones. He describes one right heart, the open heart. A single condition that expresses itself in three ways. And notice the harvest he mentions. 30, 60, and 100-fold. In ancient times, a 30-fold harvest, that was kind of actually considered a weak harvest. A 60-fold harvest, that was considered a good year. A 100-fold harvest, that was a miracle. That was like a bumper crop beyond what anyone had any right to expect. Understand, your spiritual goal is not just to produce something. It is to cultivate a heart that is so open and so receptive that the harvest becomes miraculous. But that does not happen by accident. Good soil has to be prepared. Rocks have to be removed. Weeds have to be pulled. Ground has to be turned and fertilized. And the same is true of an open heart. And here's what that looks like in practice. First, the open heart listens deeply. There is a world of difference between passive listening and active listening. Passive listening is background noise. The radio on while you're doing something. Words going in without actually landing. But active listening, that's intentional. That's focusing. That's like when you're driving and something comes on the radio and you start to turn it up and you lean in towards where the radio's at, right? Which we all do in a car, even though the speakers are over here. We lean in towards the middle to understand, right? That's active listening, focusing on what is happening. When you come to church, when you open your Bible, when you sit in a Bible study, come in active listening mode. Come trying to receive something and hear something. For me, that's why whenever I'm in a service that I'm not preaching, I take notes because it helps me to focus on what I'm hearing. Writing forces your brain to process what it is receiving. It can move the word from the surface to the deeper layers. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Everyone listening to Jesus that day had ears. But having ears is not the same as having ears that hear. Between my daughters, they've got 4 ears. And I say stuff all the time that they don't hear, right? Listening deeply is a discipline. It is a choice you make before you open the book or walk through that door. Make the choice to have the open heart that listens deeply. The second condition Jesus talks about is that the open heart obeys quickly. The main difference between the 3 wrong heart conditions and the open heart, it's not intelligence. It's not emotional sensitivity. It's obedience. The person with the open heart hears the word and they do it. James puts it bluntly for us in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Let me give you a picture of what that verse actually looks like in practical life. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor in the United States, I was in a hurry one morning to get ready for church, and I needed to shave. Obviously, it was a long time ago. And so I got the shaving cream on, I got my blade, I shaved, and then I stepped outside to finish getting ready. As I was walking by, I saw that we had a mirror in the hallway, and as I walked by that mirror, I noticed I had missed a bit of shaving cream. And I thought, oh, I need to come back and take care of that. And I went ahead and got dressed for church, completely forgetting about that shaving cream I saw. So I got to church, I taught the teenagers, and I wondered why they kept looking at me funny. But in truth, teenagers always look at an adult like they're funny. Looking at me weird. Later, a friend pulled me over and he pointed out that I had this big glob of shaving cream that had dried on my face. The fact of the matter is, I had looked in the mirror. I saw what needed to be done, and then I walked away and I didn't do anything about it. That's exactly what James is talking about in that passage. You can look into the mirror of God's word. It can reveal to you and show you exactly what needs to change in your heart, and then you can walk away unchanged because you didn't act on it immediately. When God speaks to you through his word, the moment to obey is now, not later, not when it's more convenient, now. Otherwise, you're just walking around with something on your face that everyone else can see and you can't. The open heart listens deeply. The open heart obeys quickly. And third, the open heart gives freely. It gives freely. Because when you truly receive God's word, when it takes root and grows and begins to bear fruit, something happens. You stop just being the soil, and you yourself become a sower of the seed as well. You kind of change places in the parable. See, the farmer doesn't eat all the seed. He plants it again. What he has received, he gives away. He scatters it wherever he goes. And the only way to know for certain that you are a fruitful receiver of the word is if you were planting it in others. If the word has genuinely taken root in your life, it will produce fruit. And fruit always carries a seed. And then the harvest multiplies. The 30 becomes 60. The 60 becomes 100. And the 100 gets scattered into new ground, and the whole thing starts all over again. It is the natural outflow of an open heart. It's not a duty imposed from outside. It is a fruit that grows from within. When you are genuinely feeding on God's word, really taking it in, really obeying it, then you cannot help but give it away. It's the natural overflow. Which brings me to a question about appetite. Because you can only give what you have received. And you can only receive what you're actually taking in. A while back, I watched a documentary about the competitors in the World's Strongest Man competition. In fact, one of the regular winners of the World's Strongest Man just lives up in Invergordon. But what struck me about these men and how they had to prepare to compete in these massive events where they're lifting hundreds of kilos of weight over their shoulder, and they're pressing and they're pulling lorries behind them. What struck me so much about their preparation was not the training they had to do. It was how much they had to eat and how often they had to eat. These guys are eating in the 20,000s of calories every day. Some of them would have to set alarms to wake up in the middle of the night, to wake up, eat something, and just go back to sleep. And for some of us, they think, man, I'd love to just be able to eat, eat, eat all the time. They all said, we get to the point where we hate eating because we have to eat so much just to sustain us. Their bodies needed enormous amounts of fuel just to maintain the muscle mass required to do what they needed to do. If they didn't eat enough, they didn't have the strength to compete. The eating was not optional. It was the foundation of everything else. And to be honest, that is a picture of what a regular, deep, consistent diet of God's word does in the life of a believer. You cannot do the heavy lifting of following Jesus, of resisting temptation, of loving difficult people, of persevering through hard seasons, of giving freely to others. You cannot do all that heavy lifting on a once-a-week spiritual snack. If the only time you're taking in God's word is on a Sunday morning, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. You need to be eating during the week as well. You need a regular diet. You need to be taking in the word consistently, substantially, intentionally. The strength to live the Christian life comes from the nourishment that feeds it. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then keep eating. Jesus ends this parable with a challenge. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, everyone in that crowd had ears. But having ears is not the same as truly hearing. Hearing the word of God, really receiving it, letting it take root, letting it change you, that is more than just a passive experience. It's a choice. The seed Jesus scatters is always good seed. It never loses its power. It never runs out. The question has never been about the quality of the seed. The question has always been about the condition of the soil. So here is the question to take away today. Not which soil have you been? Because again, we've all been hard, we've all been shallow, we've all been crowded at times. The question is, what soil are you choosing to be right now? Because the open heart, it's not something that just happens to you. It's something you cultivate through listening deeply, through obeying quickly, and giving freely of what you have received. If your heart has been hard, shallow, or crowded, Jesus can till up that ground. You just have to ask him to. And if your heart is open today, then tend that soil. Feed it. Let the harvest grow. And then scatter the seed. I like to give at least three concrete steps that people can reflect on and see if they need to act on in their own life based off the text. And the first step you can maybe take this week, the first is to simply listen deeply. Listen deeply. This week, choose a time to engage with God's word actively rather than passively. And I would encourage you, take a pen. As you're reading, write down one thing that lands. Maybe you've got a struggle in your life you're dealing with. Find a verse that deals with that and write out that verse. Write it out more than once. Fill a sheet of paper just writing out that verse. One verse, one insight, one challenge. Don't just hear it, capture it. Studies show that you retain 4 times more of what you write down than what you simply hear. Write down what God is dealing in your heart. Give the seed somewhere to go. I challenge you to listen deeply. Second, I challenge you to think of taking the step of obeying quickly. Think of one thing God has already spoken to you through his word that you have not acted on yet. Not a new thing, something he's already said. And this week, take the step of doing that one thing. Maybe it's something God's been working on your heart for a while to follow him in believer's baptism. You know he's asking you of that. Do it. Maybe it's about taking a step of church membership. Maybe it's about just simply getting involved somewhere else in the church. Maybe it's about coming along to Pilates just to have a good, healthy fellowship with others. Maybe it's about coming to a coffee morning afternoon. Just come in the morning, stay all afternoon, or just come in the afternoon. Take that step. Obey quickly what God is putting on your heart. The mirror has already shown you what that is. Now act on what you've seen. And third, take the step of giving freely. Think of one person in your life who needs the seed that you have been given. Not a speech, just one conversation, one verse shared. If you take step one, whatever God's revealing you into step one, writing down what he's speaking to you, use that in step three. Tell somebody else about what God is doing in your life. The harvest will multiply when the seed gets scattered. This week, focus on scattering some seed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your love and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that despite all of us maybe facing times in our life where our hearts are not where they should be, we thank you that you don't give up on us, that you don't say, well, I'm done with this field. I'm going to go to another field, God, that you're willing to work the ground if we will let you. Father, as I've said, you know every heart that is in here right now. And you know those that maybe they feel like there's so much in their life strangling the spiritual joy out of their heart, God. I pray that this week they would let you pull those weeds. I pray that each of us would seek to have an open heart, that we would seek to listen deeply to what you're telling us, that we'd seek to obey quickly when you tell us what you want us to do, Lord, and that we would look to give freely, knowing that what you've given us is not about us keeping it for ourselves. It's about being a light and a witness to this world about how good you are. Lord, those of us that have tasted and seen that you have good, let us share that meal with others. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, as we close, we'll close with a final hymn together.
Thank you.
Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.